welcome to the Buckmaster Show for this Monday. It's the 9th of January, 2012. It was great to see thousands of people turning out last night on the University of Arizona Mall to welcome Gabby Giffords home. We all send our good wishes for her continued recovery. I am Bill Buckmaster, your host for the Buckmaster Show on KVOI, Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station, and our simulcast partners KJAA, AM 1240 in Globe, and then KAPR AM 930 in Douglas. We stream our show live at buckmastershow.com and at kvoi.com, and we have three venues for you to check out the program anytime: buckmastershow.com, tucsonsentinel.com, and tucsoncitizen.com. We know many of you are using this service. You can't hear the program live, but you can log on and hear the program anytime at those three sites. We are live Monday through Friday from noon to 1. We begin with the Monday Political Face-Off, featuring commentators today, John Munger and Paul Eckerstrom. Mike Fader will join us from the Tucson Padres at 30 minutes past the hour. We're going to talk about the upcoming college football All-Star game. And plus, if you love Sanavir Mission, like many of us do, perhaps you'd like to become a docent there. We will tell you how later in the program, and we encourage you to be part of the conversation. Call us on the Buckmaster Show live line, 790-2040. You can also email your questions at buckmastershow.com or submit them using our Buckmaster Show Facebook page. Time for the Monday Political Face-Off featuring commentators John Munger. Mr. Munger, a Tucson attorney, former Republican candidate for Arizona governor in 2010. And with us today is Paul Eckerstrom, current vice chair of the Democratic Party in Pima County. And our best wishes go out to one of our commentators, Vince Ribago, who was scheduled to be with us today. And Paul, we appreciate you sitting in. Yeah. But Vince has lost his mother, and our best wishes go out to Vince and his family. The Monday Political Face-Off is presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Family-owned and run since 1985, Moe's specializes in custom frame mirrors, art for your wall, picture framing, and hanging services and hanging systems. Moe's is located next to Copenhagen at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com. John and Paul, thanks for being with us. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you both. Good to see you.
It's good to see you. I'm hoping that both of you had a fantastic holiday break. Paul, we'll begin with you. You were at several of the events yesterday, including the event on the mall. Mm-hmm. Some of your thoughts.
It was, again, very moving. And what I liked about it was that it emphasized civility and understanding among people. Mark Udall, Mo Udall's son, Senator Udall from Colorado, came in and gave a talk at Centennial Hall about how we could do that more in our political discourse. They had honoring the different victims. One of the tearjerkers was two of Christina Taylor Greene's best friends gave a talk about remembering Christina, and it was a tearjerker, let me tell you. I was wiping my eyes, and everybody up on the stage, including Senator Udall and Richard Carmona, Dr. Carmona, they were wiping their eyes. And I thought on the mall it was great to see Gabby there and give the Pledge of Allegiance, but I was struck by Bill Bennett, who was Secretary of State. He's a Republican. He was there for the governor.
Ken Bennett.
Oh, Ken Bennett. Yeah. I'm sorry. Ken was there for the governor, who couldn't be there. And he talked about he just had a grandchild born that was in intensive care, and he was struck by that and kind of gave that story and said, you know, that's what I'm here to say, is that we need to have a little intensive care for each of us, to our friends and family and fellow citizens. And so it was a good night, and I thought a couple thousand people were there on the mall, and it was very moving, but I think it was great because I think it just brought people together.
And John, I think our community will be defined by the way we have bounced back from this tragedy.
Well, I think so. I think that our empathy with and sympathy for Gabby is universal and nonpartisan. We all wish her the best and hope that she recovers. No question about it.
Let's quickly turn, and then I want to move on to the state budget situation, the legislature going back into session. But a lot of people continue to ask the question, Paul Eckerstrom, if Gabrielle Giffords cannot or decides not to run, and we don't know really what her her decision is going to be, but that decision will be coming, I'm sure, within the next couple of months. Who's on the bench that you see the Democrats putting forth? So what are some of the names?
Well, I know Senator Paulo Aboud, State Senator Paulo Aboud's interested in and may very well do it if Gabby can't. I know State Representative Matt Hines has shown interest as well. I think they'd be credible, good candidates. I think it would be interesting to see what would happen if Mark Kelly, Captain Kelly, you know, her husband, decided to run, because I think he'd make a great candidate. And it would kind of carry on Gabby's legacy if she couldn't run, certainly. And, you know, and Mark, he gave a great speech last night. And I know Eddie's, he started out and being in the focus of the nation over the last year. He was a little more tentative in the way he speaks, but now he's gotten much better and more comfortable. So I think he'd make a great candidate.
John, who are you seeing on the Republican side? Frank Antonori, perhaps?
Well, Frank Antonori is talking about it, and of course Dave Sitton. Both would be superb candidates. Both are very articulate. Are conservative candidates. Are very interested in getting the federal government back on track where we can actually balance the budget, do what we need to do to cut our deficit spending. You know, we're spending 40% of our budget. We're borrowing from China. There's been nothing going on from the Obama administration to balance the budget at all. He hasn't even made any proposal. The only proposal he's made is to make some cuts in the defense budget, but he's made no proposals to cut the budget in the domestic budget at all. He just keeps spending more and more. Our budget has gone up 8% every year during the Obama administration, despite the budget deficit. So these guys are coming in to try and join the movement to get our government back under control rather than grow the government constantly at 8% a year.
So you think that would certainly be a marquee issue in that race?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the Obama administration has made absolutely no effort.
Well, that's not really true. That's not true, John. I mean, he had a $4 trillion proposal to cut the deficit with John Boehner, and they worked it out, and then Boehner couldn't keep bring the Tea Party folks into Congress along.
But his,
and frankly, I think Obama's open to something to do something similar if they can get together.
Obama is supposed to be the leader, and his proposal was fundamentally raise taxes.
No, it wasn't.
Keep growing the budget. You know, he made a budget proposal last year about this time to for the next year's spending, and his proposal was to raise the deficit over the next several years by another $10 trillion. His budget proposal was voted down 99-1 in the Senate, which is a Democratic Senate.
John, he made a proposal with John Boehner and worked it out, and it was a 3-1 cuts to every dollar raised in recovering of taxes that had been cut by Bush. He made a credible, very big bite in the budget, a proposal that was agreed to by Boehner, and he couldn't get his caucus to come along with him.
I disagree with you. Well, the problem was his proposal was to count savings that already existed as additional savings, such as ending the Iraq War, and he was counting that as savings. That's not what needs to be done here. What needs to be done is we need to cut the size of government, and he has never proposed anything like that. We need to fix the Social Security system, fix the Medicare system. Government, he's talking about giving raises to federal employees while we have a huge unemployment rate. He just consistently talks about more and more spending.
So we need
people who will support the movement to get our government back under control.
Let's switch to the state of Arizona, because the lawmakers are back in session, and kind of the ongoing joke is the fact that a lot of people are happy when the legislature, Paul, is not in session. They can't do any more harm. I think some folks joke that. Mm-hmm. We have a budget surplus, perhaps, at the end of this fiscal year, which could be up to $650 million. Would you like to see some of that money restore, go back to some of the cuts that were made?
Yeah, there's a going to be a surplus at the end of this fiscal year. And I frankly think that surplus should go towards some of the – like buying back the buildings, our debt that we built up over the last few years during the recession.
Which is total debt is about $3 billion.
Right. Take that money and pay towards that. But next fiscal year, take some of the surplus and start restoring cuts that took place in education, which have been devastating to our educational system. And so, you know, if we want a decent economy in the future in this state, we need a good school system and a good university system.
What do you think, John?
Well, I think we've got a $3 billion hole to fill. And the instant we, you know, we were told a couple of years ago that this tax increase that we had, which is creating the surplus, was only going to be a tax increase.
The Prop 100
education. The Prop
100
through 2013. And so what the Democrats are proposing is continue that those new taxes beyond the 3 years promised and then spend all the money. And the answer is no. You need to work on getting your government spending under control. You need to pay off your $3 billion debt. The first thing you do is pay off your debt. The second thing you do is get the tax burden off the economy. Instead of siphoning that money from the private sector to the government sector, keep it in the private sector, because frankly, people know how to spend their money better and more efficiently than the government does. Every time the government takes money from the private sector, the government inefficiencies kick in and people have less money to spend to create jobs. So we just have a different ethic here. What Paul is talking about is the mentality that I disagree with respectfully, and that is that when you get more money to the government and spend it, and spend it all.
What you're saying, Paul?
No, I just said a balanced approach is take some of the money and keep putting it towards the debt next fiscal year, as well as pay what we have now in this fiscal year, pay it all towards the debt, and then take some of it towards the debt. But take some of it and start reinvesting it in education. We are dead last in funding in schools in this state among the 50 states. We are going to not be able to compete for jobs and companies moving here if we stay there. And so I believe we reinvest that. Now, what he's saying about extending the 1 cent sales tax, you know, there's some people, and this isn't a necessarily Democratic thing, but there's people out there proposing an initiative to do that.
It's called Education 12.
Yeah, and it's to earmark all that money to education, because when Jan Brewer proposed hers, she didn't put any provisions that had to go to education. Instead, what happened was more tax cuts went to big companies and rich people, and that's what's been happening in the state for the last 20 years. That's why we have a structural deficit, and that's why our schools have dropped from 26th in funding of schools among the states to dead last.
Well, actually, in reality, there is adequate money in the schools. The problem is the system we have that exists, where the unions are in control of our teachers, or of our through our teachers' unions, are in control. All the Democratic Party is
blame it on the teachers. Blame it on the teachers.
All they want to do is
thoughts,
pay off their unions.
Hold
That's
your
all
thoughts.
They're trying to do.
Coming up on 12:18 on the Buckmaster Show, it's the Monday Political Face-Off. John Munger is here to the right of me, and then to the left of me. Studio left is Paul Eckerstrom. We will be back right after this.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencia and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Listed on the National Register of Historic Places and founded in 1930 by Isabella Greenway, Arizona's first congresswoman, the Arizona Inn still sets the standard for luxury hospitality in Midtown Tucson, just minutes from the University of Arizona. The Arizona Inn continues to win top honors for hospitality and dining. The Arizona Inn has again been named one of the best 500 hotels on earth by Travel and Leisure magazine, the only hotel in Tucson to receive this top honor. And the Inn is proud of its AAA four diamond status for both the hotel and dining room. Whether it's for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, or a private event, you can count on Chef Allison's featured seasonal culinary creations to please. The Arizona Inn, a special oasis of hospitality in Midtown Tucson at 2200 East Elm and on the web at arizonainn.com. Firo Amore presents Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza using fresh, homemade mozzarella and the finest quality toppings. Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Firo Amore. Casual yet upscale dining with an extensive boutique wine list. Firo Amore in Tucson on North Swan at Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at viroamorepizza.com. And now in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of healthcare in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received two 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoAZ.net.
Well, 21 on the Monday Political Face-Off, which is presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. It's family-owned and run since 1985. Moe's has custom frame mirrors, art for your wall, picture framing and hanging systems. Moe's is next to Copenhagen at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com. Let's go to Dan on the Buckmaster Show live line. Go ahead, Dan. You're with Paul Eckerstrom and John Munger.
Thank you, Bill. Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
I sort of disagree with your ideas of what to do with the surplus money, which is coming in because of these extra taxes. One of you wants to spend it on the teachers' union. The other one wants to pay off our debt. I have had to lay off about 40% of my employees in Pima County, and I know that one of the big reasons is because of Grijalva and Dupnik's berating our county and state. And I do business all around the country, and we have become a laughingstock because our own representatives seem to hate their own people in this county. Those two guys should apologize to the people of Arizona or resign immediately.
Okay, Dan, thanks a lot. John Munger.
Yeah, I agree with Dan. He's absolutely right. I mean, with the fact that we have representatives that go out and badmouth their own constituencies is horrible. And this guy, look, Dan is a guy that creates jobs. And he knows, as I know, that what these folks have done is kill jobs.
He said he had to lay off 40%.
He had to lay off 40%, and he is not unique. That is very typical in this town. The problem is, Bill, that so many people in the Democratic Party either work for the government or they work for charitable institutions or they don't work at all. They are not the job creators. And the job creators understand the damage that has been done by this kind of poor leadership. It is terrible. And all they want to do is spend more money and siphon that government money to more of their union employees so that the union employees can turn around and support more Democrats for office. That's what this is all about.
Paul Eckerstrom.
That's not true. I mean, one of the most underpaid professions in the state is teachers, okay? And it is not about teacher unions. We need to invest in our schools and our kids so that they have an equal opportunity to do well in the job workforce so that we can attract businesses to this state so that we would have jobs for people. And if you know, we're cutting our nose off to spite our face. We give a big tax cut to folks that are really wealthy, and at the same time destroy our public school system, make it too expensive for middle-class kids to even go to college, and we expect them to compete in a technological revolution worldwide in terms of jobs, it's not going to happen. And so what we need to do is start actually making those investments, smart investments, those investments. And you know, I'm sorry, we have one of the lowest tax rates in the country in this state. And to cut more taxes for rich people seems ridiculous. And Jack Harper, who's now trying to put a referendum on the ballot to get rid of the provision that says taxpayer money can't go to private schools, wants to be able to create vouchers so rich people get to subsidize their kids going to really good private schools, and poor people will be have to send their kids to substandard for-profit schools where people are making millions of dollars off of that.
Well,
and
Paul,
if that isn't tax subsidies to private industry, I don't know what is.
Well, Paul, let me suggest this, that the sales tax is not a tax on the rich. The sales tax is a tax on everybody in this state who buys anything. And as you know, it lays – let me finish. It goes preponderantly against the lower income and middle income groups, and you don't want to release that. You want these people paying more sales taxes, and then you're against –
I don't.
Then you're against
– I don't. You're
and
wrong.
Then, and Paul, please
let
– I didn't interrupt you. Please let me finish. The second problem is you say, well, we need to invest more. Well, that sounds good. The problem is you folks want to invest in the context of the same educational – corrupt, frankly, educational system we've got, where what you've got – is teachers.
You're contending it's corrupt?
It's basically
corrupt.
Yeah,
you're calling my mom, who was a teacher for her career, as a corrupt professional and who was underpaid her entire career because of people like you.
Paul, let me finish. She's not corrupt. The system,
yeah.
the system is corrupt.
Sure.
And I'll tell you why it's corrupt. It's corrupt because what happens is you have people who are stay in place as teachers regardless of merit, and they're there with seniority. There is plenty of money. If you folks would let the best teachers get paid regardless of seniority and have the lesser teachers be removed, but you won't allow that because the teacher unions control who gets hired. So the problem, Paul, is we have some great teachers out there, but you folks won't let them be paid based on merit. All you want to do is pour more money into a system. Paul, let me finish. Rather than reform it, it needs to be reformed.
Go ahead, Paul. Answer. Look, you get what you pay for, and we don't pay much at all into our education system. If you want the best teacher, instead of a math –
pay them.
Instead of a person with a math degree going in an engineering degree, going into engineering where they get paid a lot more, you need to be competitive and pay that person what they're worth.
And
we're not doing that.
And your structure does not allow that.
No.
Your structure rewards seniority and not merit.
Now it's Paul's turn.
We have cut spending on education for 20 years. We are dead last in funding of schools. Why do you think we can't compete with those educators being able to be paid a decent wage that they'll stay in education?
I'll tell you why we can't compete.
And so you get what you pay for, John. And here's the
– You can't compete because you've loaded the system against merit.
Let me
Paul's
finish.
Turn.
Let me finish. I don't particularly like sales tax. You're right. I'd rather have an income tax. But you know what they did with the sales tax that they said was going to education, that Jan Brewer said would go to education? There were cuts in education last fiscal year with that money, and instead they gave a tax cut to corporations instead. And so, yeah, I'd rather it not be a sales tax extended. I'd like it to be an income tax, which actually is graduated and is fair. And it doesn't hurt poor people. So there you go.
Well, I think what you ought to talk about, Paul, is take the money you have and spend it correctly first. Then you would merit some kind of more larger infusion of money. The problem is nobody has confidence that the way the money is being spent in the educational system today generates a meritorious system. You hire and fire teachers based solely on seniority, and then you wonder why we don't have better teachers. What you should do is say, we're going to hire teachers based upon merit. We're going to pay really well the great teachers.
Yeah, well, where's the money coming from, John? You've already cut it off.
There's plenty of money, Paul. But when we give a merit increase, you know what the school districts do is they say, okay, we have this money, so we're going to give a 1% merit raise to all of the teachers because all of our teachers are wonderful. I'm sorry, that's not true. We have a lot of great teachers, but you're not rewarding the great teachers, and therefore the great teachers quit.
Well, John,
go ahead.
Going to have to go. John Munger and Paul Eckerstrom, thank you both very much. We'll continue this at another time.
Thanks,
Monday
Bill.
Political Face-Off is presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985. Moe's has custom-framed mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing, hanging services, and hanging systems. Moe's is next to Copenhagen at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com. Paul Eckerstrom, John Munger, thank you very much for taking part in a very heated discussion about our education system. We will be back. Mike Fader talking about the college football game that's coming up. Stay with us. SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington.
Mitt Romney taking heat from his GOP presidential rivals for saying today that he likes to be able to fire people who provide services to him. He was talking about making it easier for people to change health insurers, but Democrats have quickly circulated the video clip, and Republican candidate John Huntsman says, unlike Romney, he enjoys creating jobs. Two senior Obama administration officials say the White House Chief of Staff William Daley is resigning. He's reportedly being replaced by Jacob Lew, who's currently the budget director. An announcement is expected later in the day. The Obama administration has decided to ban new mining claims affecting a million acres near the Grand Canyon. That's an area known to be rich in high-grade uranium ore reserves. Wall Street, the Dow up 32 points, the NASDAQ ahead 6. More details at srnnews.com.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our citizens realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and create a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in and support of education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's Pima Community College students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a literate, prosperous, thriving Tucson and Pima County. During these extraordinarily tough times, our funding is in serious jeopardy. And as budgets get even tighter, we'll have to cut back services just when people need us the most. So please support us in our ongoing effort to build a better tomorrow. Help us provide the education and resources that the people of Pima County need today. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us on the web at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Ever notice how much time you spend just getting where you want to go?
Travel hassles, long drives.
Expensive parking can all ruin your trip and create a miserable experience. Tucson International Airport has the answer. With close, easy parking, quick check-in, a short walk to your gate, and airport amenities that make traveling stress-free and enjoyable. With nonstop destinations and connections around the world, for business or for pleasure, fly TucsonAirport.com. It's the way to go.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
There are times when you save, and there are times when you
save big.
Whoa. Take vehicle loans, for instance. Any time of the year, Pyramid Federal Credit Union can help you save with lower rates. But now, for a limited time, we're helping you
save big.
That means rates as low as 4.5% APR when you buy or refinance a vehicle loan. Plus terms up to 60 months, whether it's new or used. You won't just save. You'll
save big.
That never gets old. Stop by any Pyramid Federal Credit Union or visit us at pyramidfcu.com to learn more. That's 4.5% APR vehicle loans for a limited time. Plus, save another 0.25% with payment options.
That's huge.
Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life. Learn more at pyramidfcu.com. 4.5% APR on vehicle loans for a limited time. Restrictions may apply. Membership eligibility required. NCUA insured.
12:34. This is the Buckmaster Show, and I am Bill Buckmaster on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. Our Buckmaster Show live line number is 790-2040. The Casino del Sol College All-Star Football Game. It's 1 week from today at Keno Stadium. The Tucson Padres, the AAA baseball team, purchased the game, which was formerly known as the Blue-Gray Game and Eastham Energy All-Star Classic. Game is one of four college showcases this winter. Joining us on the Buckmaster Show is Mike Fader. Mr. Fader is the vice president and general manager of the Tucson Padres baseball organization. Mike, how are you today?
Bill, how are you? Except you're scaring me by telling me it's only a week away.
I know. I can't believe it. Let's set the record straight for listeners who may not be following what's going on with this game. Why did the Padres, in effect, buy the game?
Well, I mean, I'll be really honest with you. The word buy is $1.
Yeah.
but the game was going to die. I mean, the person who was involved in it, things came up, and Mike Leach, the former Texas Tech coach, was in Washington, just got the Washington State job, and he wasn't able to do what he thought he was going to do. And virtually Fox Sports Arizona pulled the plug on the game. If they went away, then Casino del Sol was going to go away as the title sponsor. And it was presented to me, hey, if somebody in Tucson doesn't step up, this game's going to die. And I quite honestly, I'm just tired of sporting events, you know, kind of dying. And we've lost spring training. We've lost the Sidewinders. You know, obviously we got AAA baseball back. We were supposed to have an arena football team this year. That fell apart. And I just don't like losses anymore. So we as a staff took this on with the understanding that the goal is to break even. And if we could break even, then we've done something good for the community, and that's what our goal is right now.
And, you know, I think you're to be congratulated for doing this and stepping up, because this is a game with a lot of tradition. This may be dating me, Mike Fader, but I grew up watching the Blue-Gray Game on TV, which featured the college all-stars from the North and from the South. It was a fun game.
I guess I'm dating myself because I would agree with you.
Yeah, and I mean, so there's a history here with this game, and you've got a roster that's starting to look very attractive.
No, without question. We've got, tonight, anybody watch a game between LSU and Alabama, there was a quarterback by the name of Gerald Lee for LSU. He started the year as the quarterback for the Tigers and took them to four straight victories. He's 9-0 as a starter at LSU. Jordan Jefferson is the starting quarterback now, but they expect Gerald Lee to get some playing time. We've got a running back from Colorado who, against the University of Arizona, Rodney Stewart, ran for 181 yards, three touchdowns, and threw for a touchdown. This guy's a pro prospect. And we've got five guys from the U of A, four or five guys from Arizona State. So these are major college football players that all hope to be in an NFL camp, either get drafted in April by an NFL team or get an invite to participate in training camp for an NFL team. And we've got well over 50 NFL scouts coming to the game, so this isn't just a bunch of guys throwing it together on a backyard to play a football game.
What are the specifics? Keno, have you had college football at Keno Stadium before?
Pima Community College has played some games there, but not to the magnitude of this. So this is unique, and the beauty of it is the field is ready. It's now all grass. There's no infield dirt. There's no pitcher's mound because not only is it this football game, but it's also we're going to have the MLS soccer exhibition games, the Desert Diamond Desert Cup, will be there in mid-February till March 3rd for four exhibition games. And there's a chance Beckham could be playing on that field. This is unique for that ballpark, but Chuck Huckleberry and the Board of Supervisors always stated, we need this field to be used. Well, it's now going to be used.
What's the game time on Monday, the 16th?
6 p.m. It's MLK Day, so we know the kids are out of school. It will be on Fox Sports Arizona, along with some other TV networks in the Fox Sports family. So there's going to be a lot of people all over the country watching.
And the ticket range, it's very attractive.
Yeah, the ticket range is anywhere from $8 to $24, but the $24 tickets are actually going pretty fast, and right now those seats are available around the 20 or 10 yard line.
I understand Dick Thome is coming back.
Yeah, that was exciting. You know, Dick's been a friend of mine in the 90s. He was Pat Hill, who was the former Fresno State coach, is one of the head coaches, as is Houston Nutt. And when I started looking into the fact that Pat Hill was an assistant on Dick Thome's staff, Ron McBride, who was a Utah coach, was an assistant on Dick Thome's staff. And I just said, Dick, what are the chances you come? And he said, oh, no, this is such an honor. I'd be excited. And I've talked to Dick Thome probably 10 times in the last 3 days.
Wow.
And he's just like bouncing off the walls, can't wait to get to Tucson.
I like Mr. Thome. Dick's a great guy.
No, without question.
While we have you here, Mike Fader, on the Buckmaster Show, give us an update on the Padres. The deal in Escondido, 30 miles north of San Diego, kind of fell through as far as a future for the Padres, correct?
Well, that's what it looks like right now. The redevelopment funds got taken away by the Supreme Court in California. And the mayor of Escondido said, baseball's dead. You know, that was his word. So now what's going to happen is the San Diego Padres ownership has to decide, what are they going to do? Are they going to sell the franchise? Are they going to move the franchise? But right now there is no other cities in the footprint of the Pacific Coast League that will have a ballpark ready for sure this year. We know we're set for this year, but I don't even think for next year. So it's up to us to make this thing work and make it work at a much better level than it did last year. And in July and August, our attendance really picked up because people started to understand what it was all about.
And I noticed you've already got some information up on your website, right, about your promotional schedule. You're kicking things off April Friday night, April 15th.
Correct. Well, no, the first game, well, promotion-wise, but our first game is Thursday, April 5th.
Oh, that, yeah.
So we have some good stuff going on there as well. So we start the season with 8 straight days at home, and people will know what goes on Thursday. It's something called Thirsty Thursdays with Dollar Beer. That's the way we're going to start our season, so we're going to start it off with a bang.
And the spring training, where do the Padres then go for their spring training?
They're in Peoria, in the Valley, in the you know, Phoenix Valley area. But we're, right now, myself and the Pima County Sports and Tourism Authority are working heavily about trying to get 2 spring training games in here, and I think it looks really good sometime in mid-March on.
And I know you're very involved with the Pima County and the sports activities here. What will it take for this All-Star game to this college football All-Star game, Mike Fader, to stay here for the long run?
Well, success. I mean, we need people to come out, and it needs to be profitable. You know, and I think we're on that path. But, you know, we need people to get behind us because this is something that's good for our community. We're going to make a decision, you know, probably a week or two after the game's over and, you know, and look at it very seriously to see if it's something worth doing. And if it is, then we're going to move forward with it for sure.
And you like the Keno complex for perhaps the future for this game?
Without question. I think that's the way it's got to be.
Yeah. So the Tucson Padres is this could be your big make or break season. Certainly the ownership of the Padres will be looking, won't they, at how this season goes here in Tucson?
Without question they will. I mean, this is our chance, you know, and I'm confident that this community will respond. We've got a lot of good ideas. People now know who we are, and I think things are going to look pretty good.
Okay, Mike Fader. And again, let's go over the specifics for the game. That will be starting 6 o'clock, 1 week from today at Keno, and your ticket pricing ranging from $8 to $24.
Correct. And people could buy tickets online right now. They can go to CasinoDelSolAllStarGame.com. They can buy them at Keno Stadium. We're open every day, Monday through Friday, till 5. They could also get them the night of the game The box office will open at 4 o'clock. Or they can call in 434-1367, and there'll be no fee if they call in. So we're working on a bunch of stuff right now.
Do you have any idea how old this game is? I know. When did the Blue-Gray Classic even begin? Did you ever research that?
Quite honestly, I haven't since we took this thing over two weeks ago. I'm not sure, to be honest with you, but I know it, like you said earlier, I know it's been around for a while.
Mike Fader, thank you very much, and good luck with the College Football All-Star Game coming up 1 week from tonight at 6 o'clock. Thanks, Mike.
No, Bill, thank you for having me, and thanks for everything, for getting behind everything we work on.
Thank you so much. Mike Fader with us from the Tucson Padres, which owns the upcoming College Football All-Star Game. 12:45 now on the Buckmaster Show. We are live Monday through Friday here on KVOI, The Voice.
I see you're cleaning out the garage.
Not exactly. I'm trying to find Grandma Lynn's clock.
For what it's worth.
For what?
What's it worth with a Z? It's an antiques appraisal fundraising event on February 12th at the Doubletree Hotel. You can bring in two items, have them appraised by those famous appraisers, you see on TV.
Famous appraisers?
Yeah, Colleen Fesco, Michael Flanagan.
How much does it cost and what can I have appraised?
A $60 ticket, woman, admits two people and you can bring up to two items. You can bring furniture, jewelry, china, rugs, paintings, whatever. The proceeds go to help children in need in Tucson.
Where can I buy tickets?
You can buy your tickets online at whatsitworth.org. That's what's it with a Z. Wait, where are you going?
I'm going to find my two items for What's It Worth. I love Michael Flanagan, and it's for a good cause. See you there.
Proceeds benefit Assistance League of Tucson.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencium and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Let Karimi Oriental Rugs keep your valuable area rugs looking like new with Tucson's finest cleaning, repair, and restoration services. Karimi specializes in restoring antique, silk, and Navajo rugs with 100% satisfaction guarantee. Karimi Oriental Rugs appraises and purchases quality rugs and offers a vast selection of hand-woven rugs from around the world. Be sure to stop by Karimi Oriental Rugs at Fort Lowell and Dodge or on the web at KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero More, Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza, topped with the finest, freshest quality ingredients. Enjoy casual yet upscale dining while sampling our extensive boutique wine list. Vero More in Tucson at North Swan and Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at VeroMorePizza.com. And now open in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoAZ.net.
It's 12:49 now on the Buckmaster Show, and I am Bill Buckmaster on AM 1030. We are on KVOI, The Voice, Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station. San Javier del Bac is the iconic mission 10 miles south of Tucson that was begun by Franciscans in 1783 and finished 14 years later. Today, the White Dove of the Desert, as it is affectionately called, serves the nearby Tohono O'odham community with daily masses, religious ceremonies, and a school. Visitors can tour the church and its elaborate murals, statues, and museum, which offers a 20-minute video on the mission's history in addition to exhibitions. And now, for the first time in its 214-year history, visitors to the mission will have the opportunity to take a guided tour. Joining us on the Buckmaster Show is Craig Reed. Mr. Reed is putting together a new docent training class, and also with us in studio is docent Annette Hoops. Thank you, Annette and Craig, for being with us.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Craig, what is it that attracted you to this mission when you first saw it?
Well, I tell people when I give tours, I got attracted by the same thing I think people did hundreds of years ago. When you come across the desert and you see a 5.5-story, beautiful white building with a decorated facade, that's something you want to check out. And I was curious, like thousands of travelers that came across the desert to see what was there. And then I was stunned by the beauty of the art and the statuary and the stories that go along with that mission. It's just amazing.
How about you, Annette? When did you first see the mission and what did you think of it?
Yes, similar thing. When you first come to Tucson and look around and ask people what's here, going down 19 and seeing that white building, you're just totally attracted to it, and it's magical when you go in.
You know, I would think, Craig, one of the first questions people ask is, why in the heck is such a beautiful mission, or how did the mission even come to be in a place that was basically the northernmost frontier of the Spanish Empire for the southwestern part of the world?
Well, Padre Kino came to the mission back in 1692 and actually established it. It's been there for a long time. But the native population in the village of Wauk had been there for 2,000 years before that. It's important to remember that the Santa Cruz River ran with water 11.5 months of the year back then. That was a lush, fertile valley. It was a large population center. Over 600 people lived in that village back in the 1600s. For a native population village, that's an astonishing amount of people. Father Kino went where the people were, and that's where the people were, was in the village of Wauk.
You've been a docent, Annette, for how long?
Since the start. We started the docent program of April this year.
And tell me about the program.
Well, if you like to talk to people,
which I assume you do.
Yes. If you're interested in art and history and architecture, this has all of those things to learn and then to pass on to the public when they come to visit.
Talk a little bit about the art.
The art is ultra Baroque Spanish architecture. It has Moorish details to it, since the Moors were in Spain at the time, in southern Spain. And this was New Spain when this was built. Father Kino was a missionary working for Spain, a Jesuit. But in the 1700s, the Franciscans were in, and they were the ones that got the money to start building the building that we have there now.
And Craig, you're recruiting new docents. What are you looking for? Who are you looking for?
Well, we're looking for people that enjoy telling stories. This is not a job where we give you a script, require you to memorize it, and every day you say exactly the same thing in exactly the same spot.
Which could get kind of boring, I think.
It certainly can. What we find is every tour group we do is different. Some people come and want to know more about the religious aspects of it. Some people, the architecture. Some people, the story of the native populations. And we try to give all the docents through the classes that we run a good background in all those areas so they can respond to what the people who come to see it really want to know.
How much time does a docent have to get involved with this, Craig Reed?
Well, we normally ask people to try to give at least two tours a week. Some people give two tours twice a week. It depends on the schedule. If we have more people, it's not as necessary. But like Annette and I were at the mission a couple Saturdays ago, and we were just overrun. I mean, we had more people, and we both ended up staying late and doing some extra tours because there was so much interest and not enough people. So we're looking for more.
Annette, we're speaking with Annette Hoops, who is a docent at San Javier Mission, and Craig Reed, who's putting together a new docent class. Annette, how large a group? These docent tours are very successful, I assume, right?
Yes.
Out of the bat. Yes. And how many people can you take in a tour?
Well, comfortably,
yeah,
we would like to take 10 to 15 people. And if we know ahead of time, if your group is coming, then we would have that many docents to cover how many people you're bringing. When we have school groups that call ahead of time, then we have the number of docents we need so that we could each take 10 or 15 students. Makes it comfortable. But when we start giving our tour, the general public that just happens to be there walking, they didn't know that there was a tour, but they've brought their relatives and their friends, they can come along with us. It's a free tour. If you're there and a tour has started, you're welcome to walk along with us. So often we start a tour with 10 people and up
before
in
you know it,
the
you've
church.
Got 30 or 40, right?
Yes,
tagging
we do.
Along. And,
right.
And they just happen to be there and they
yes.
hear some very interesting information.
Yes.
What are the hours, Craig Reed, for the docents' tours?
Well, during this time of the year, it's busier. We have more visitors at the mission than we do during the summer. And we try to run tours starting at about 9 o'clock in the morning till about 1 o'clock in the afternoon on the half hour. So 9, 9:30, 10, like that. In the summer, when we have less, we try to run a little earlier in the morning when it's not quite so hot and just do tours every hour.
And the tour lasts about 20 minutes?
45 minutes
okay,
normally
45.
Is the time. And Annette and I always joke that we aim for 45 minutes, but if the questions get good, it sometimes takes a little longer.
What kind of questions do you typically get, Craig?
Well, a lot of people are curious about why the Spanish came all the way up here, like you said, to the end of the world in New Spain to
yeah.
establish a mission. A lot of people wonder about the impacts on the native population when the Spanish showed up. What changed in the village of Wak when the Spanish rode in?
And how did they treat the local people?
Yes, and it was very different up here than how natives were treated in New Spain down where the gold and silver mines were. They used a system called reductions where they actually forced native population into smaller and smaller areas. That didn't happen up here. They came up here with seeds and helped the natives expand their agriculture base and planted winter wheat, which was the most amazing product that really changed this whole area. And the impacts are still felt today. I joke with people, you go to a Mexican restaurant in Tucson and you order tortillas and you always get a choice of flour or corn. You go to a Mexican restaurant in Nogales and you order tortillas and you get a choice of corn or corn. That is the influence of Father Kino. He
yeah.
brought the winter wheat to this area.
Quickly here, as we're running out of time, the new docent training classes will be when, Craig?
Well, we're starting January 11th, this Wednesday, and we're running for 4 Wednesdays in a row. We've scheduled the classes to go from 12:30 in the afternoon to 2 o'clock. That gets us kind of past the rush of tourists that we tend to have at the site, plus allows people to get back home before the Tucson rush hour starts. So 12:30 to 2, January
11th. Wednesday starting next Wednesday.
Correct.
And do they need any can people just show up at 12:30?
Well, we'd like, people to call in advance and tell us that they're interested in coming so I can make sure that you have the books that you need and the information that you need. They can call the Patriano office for that. The number is 520-407-4160.
And Annette Hoops, did you find learning the material was quite easy?
Yes, it was
delightful. It's always easier if you're interested in something.
Exactly,
right?
And it's right there to look at. And we continue to learn all the time. We're learning more and more. So our tours are going to end up being 2 hours rather than 45 minutes because we want to tell everyone everything that we've learned.
And the condition of the mission right now is fantastic. The restoration, Greg, has really looks. The interior just looks pristine.
It's an ongoing process that costs a lot of money, but it's well worth it. It's striking the beauty of some of the statuary and the paintings that people can see inside, and we're happy to give people an opportunity to see that.
And our friend Dr. Fontana put out that fantastic coffee table book.
Gift of Angels.
Yeah, Gift of Angels. Thank you, Annette. It's just a fantastic book. And the photography by Edward McCain, I believe,
is the photographer. In fact, just this last week, we had archaeologists on the site, and they dug up one of the early foundations of the first church that Dr. Fontana found in 1960.
Wow. Craig Reed and Annette Hoops talking about the docent training class coming up at San Javier del Bac. Thank you very much, and good luck with your tours.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot. The Buckmaster Show brought to you in part by Flowers Rieger, an associate certified public accountant located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com. That's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show, the Monday edition. We will be here with you on the Tuesday edition, noon to 1 tomorrow on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. Hope you have a great afternoon.
KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. 930 KAPR Douglas. And 1240 KJAA Globe, the Voice Radio Network.